Grace and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word that is before us today is from the 8th chapter of John's Gospel in the 12th verse. Jesus is speaking. He says, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Dear fellow redeemed and children of God called out of darkness into his marvelous light. An artist painted a picture of a winter evening. And way back near the center of the painting was this house sitting in the darkness. All the trees were covered with snow. And so was the house. But the house sitting back, away from even the front light of the snow and the moon reflecting, the house sitting back was dark and desolate and dreary. Not a happy scene. And then all of a sudden, the artist took a double-aught brush and filled it with yellow paint and put a strike of light in one window. And it changed the whole picture. That's the power of light. Now this scene became warm and comfortable and cheerful. Now, any of you know Thomas Kincaid are familiar with him as the light painter. We've seen much of his work. His work has such great appeal because of the nature of light itself. Light has the innate God-created ability to dispel darkness. That's why he made it. That's why he set the sun in the heavens. Light has the ability to dispel darkness wherever and whenever it is applied and whatever medium is used. Kincaid's paintings are so hot because they are warm with the glow, of the light of life. But Jesus Christ is the light of light. Of life, I should say. As light is its own witness, so is Christ. Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." Now that's quite a statement. And I suppose that if you could take one simple statement that the world hates most of all, it's this. That Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." And those who follow him say that Jesus is the light of the world. Ever since the world fell into the darkness of sleep in the fall into sin, the darkness has hated the light of Christ. And whenever then it is said that Jesus has come to be the light of life, the only Savior of the world, the prince of darkness goes to work and he wakes up all of the self-righteous religious people in the world, whether they're in churches or not. He wakes them up to this bold statement that Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." The prince of darkness wakes them all up with their minds and with their self-righteousness. And the whole world says, "You can't be that light, the only light. That's boastful. That's arrogant. How dare you? You're a liar." Now, if Jesus had said, not, "I am the light of the world, but I am a light in the world would rejoice. But Jesus declares he is the light of the whole world, and the world says, wait a minute. Are you really saying that you save men from darkness? That you are the only savior from darkness? Are you saying that there is darkness wherever you are not present? Or are you saying that if you leave, whoever was in the light becomes dark again? What about all of the religion teachers in the history of the world? What about all the philosophers, all the great thinkers in the church and out of the church? Are you saying that without you, they're dark? That you're the only light unto salvation and acceptance with God? Yes, that's exactly what Jesus is saying. He's not fudging. This is a plain, simple statement. And he's not boasting about himself. He's just telling the truth. Now, if the sun in the sky, which is blazing today, if the sun in the sky should say about itself, I am the light of the world, in a physical sense, the world would not deny it. The world wouldn't shake its fist at the sun in the sky and say, no, you're not the light of the world. Because the world knows it can't live without that sun in the sky. Then the world knows that there's no light without that sun. But let Jesus Christ say that he's the spiritual light of the world, and the whole world comes up in arms. It awakens from the darkness of its sleep in Satan and begins to call the Son of God, the creator of light, a liar, and all those who follow him. Now, the Apostle John disagrees with this reasoning. In the first chapter of his gospel, he says concerning Christ, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. What the Spirit of God moved John to say in the first chapter of his gospel is really no different than what Jesus says here in our text. John says, in him was life, the life was the light of men. Jesus says, I am the light of life. Jesus Christ is his own witness that he is the light of the world. I want you to notice also the two words, I am, in this text. They are a very important testimony that he is the light of the world. Because you remember when Moses, back there in Exodus 3, Moses saw the bush that was burning and yet was not consumed, and and the Lord spoke out of that bush. And when Moses said, who shall I say sent me? What is your name? The Lord spoke out of the bush, and this is what he said. I am who I am. Tell the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Here Jesus says, I am the Lord God Almighty, the creator of light. I am the light of life. Who dares to call the Son of God a liar? Because he tells the truth about who he is. Rather, we believe what Paul says in Romans 3. Let God be true and every man a liar. Now, Christ calls himself the light of the world because the Father sent him into a sin-darkened world to be the only spiritual light and Savior of the world. Indeed, God says to Christ in Isaiah, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Israel, or of Jacob, and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. And so Paul could write to the Christians in Corinth that the same God who, quote, commanded the light of the sun to shine out of darkness has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In the face of Jesus Christ. That's what I was saying to the children a few minutes ago. How does God give the light, the knowledge of his glory, who he truly is, in the face of the person of Jesus Christ when you can't see the face of Jesus Christ? How does God give that knowledge? The answer lies in the second quality of light. As light reveals itself, so Christ reveals himself. And he does this in his word. Those in the world and in the churches who think that their thoughts and their feelings and their imaginations about God and about Christ are the light by which Christ reveals himself and God are sadly mistaken. They are the boastful ones, not Christ. Christ says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they, the scriptures, are the ones that testify of me. Psalm 119 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." The entrance of your words give light. It gives understanding to the simple. Direct my steps by your word. In other words, don't let me go off with my own imaginations and my thoughts and my feelings about God and what he accepts and what he doesn't. What's light and what is darkness. The psalmist says, direct my steps by your word and let no iniquity have dominion over me. Wherever Christ's light is not found, there man is surrounded by spiritual darkness, a darkness he can't penetrate. His imaginings can't do it. They can't make God. They can't make the truth. They can't make light. Only darkness. It doesn't make any difference how smart he is or thinks he is or how many degrees he has behind his name at whatever theological schools he's gone to. And the person who departs from following Christ's word, who had the light given, the person who departs from following Christ's word because a certain teaching or commandment of Christ doesn't fit in with their human reason or the way the world wants them to walk, that person is rejecting the light of Christ and his word and choosing to follow in the darkness again. This is dangerous. This is not something that is innocuous. It's not something friendly. It leads away from God. As the Apostle John writes in his first letter, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Isn't this what we want? The assurance that our sins are forgiven, that God, for Christ's sake, has cleansed us from all iniquity. Isn't that what we want? I'd rather have that than to make God in my own image and make him the lackey to my feelings, my directives, my reason. Jesus says, those who follow him shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I have walked across that Pella Avenue with the potholes like that in the darkness. I always take a flashlight. To me, that's common walking sense. When you got holes filled with water, some of them deep enough to swallow you up. But suppose that you had to take a walk in a night that was so dark you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. We call that pitch dark. Would you say to yourself, I don't need a flashlight. God will guide me. No, you wouldn't. That would be foolishness. Because God made flashlights to guide us in the darkness, to light our way. So also he has given us the light of his word so that we don't have to walk in the darkness, in the pitch blackness of our own imaginations and minds without him. Take those Gentile wise men from the east, for example. They made a long, arduous journey from the east to Jerusalem, following the star that they saw in the west. And when they came to Jerusalem, they were faced with the spiritual darkness of Herod. Talk about dark streets. Herod was full of envy and hatred, jealousy, fear consumed him. The wise men lost the sight of the star for a time while they were in that darkness. They might have become confused also and turned aside from the path to life in Christ. They might have been confused by the darkness of Herod and those that surrounded him. Even as we may turn aside from Christ in the darkness of this world because of those around us. But when the wise men heard from the Old Testament book of the prophet Micah that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, they followed that light, the light of God's word. And guess what? The star appeared again, and they went to Bethlehem, and they found the Christ in his house in Bethlehem. And the fruits of faith came forth, and they gave him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And that's not the end of their life in the light. They did not return by way of that darkness they found in Jerusalem. They went an entirely different way, a new way, a well-lit way, homeward, following Christ by following his word. They were not lost in the darkness. Now, what do you suppose they did with that light when they got back home and they had to settle again in the darkness of the Gentile world? The Bible doesn't tell us what they did. They could have decided to hide their light. They could have decided not to speak the truth about Christ so that it would not disturb or annoy their family and their neighbors. That's what is done in this world by other Christians at times. We're afraid to disturb the peaceful darkness of those who sleep in it with the truth and the light of Christ from his word. So we say nothing. Or we gloss it over. The wise men could have done that. But if they continued to be followers of Christ, the light of Christ that he had given them through his word could not help but shine out against the darkness and expose whatever was wrong and dark, whatever was the work of Satan. That's the nature of light. It exposes darkness wherever it's found. Why do you turn on a light when you hear a strange sound in your house? Maybe you don't. Maybe you walk around the darkness. I don't. If I hear a strange sound, I turn a light. Why do we do that? Well, that's so that in the darkness, we don't stumble against a chair and fall and hurt ourselves, or we don't step on broken glass, or we don't, in the darkness, fail to see a thief who's come to take from us what is ours. In other words, we turn on a light because it exposes the darkness, which is a danger to us. That's the nature of light. It exposes danger. Jesus says, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged." And people hold that up and they say, "There you go. That just shows that Christ should not say he is the light. And neither should we say that we have the light in the word of Christ." No, that's not what Jesus is saying when he says, "Do not judge." He's not saying that we should not distinguish good from evil or truth from error or light from darkness. Jesus and the New Testament apostles tell us everywhere to expose the darkness of error, of false teaching. Don't support it in any way. Paul says, "What fellowship has light with darkness?" He can ask a rhetorical question like that because everybody knows the answer to that. There is no fellowship, no sharing of darkness and light. Darkness hates the light, and the light exposes the darkness, and that's why the darkness hates the light. It's real simple. A few years ago, one of the artists on Thomas Kincaid's staff was a woman I had ministered to in Texas. A very accomplished artist. I have a piece of hers in my house. And this woman came to Columbia, and she invited my wife and me out to supper. In the course of our visiting, it became clear that she had a very high regard for Thomas Kincaid. You know why? Because Thomas Kincaid believed that one of the things he ought to be doing with his paintings, above all, was to bring glory to the creator of light, that is God. And he did a good job of it. But Christ's light was never intended to brighten paintings. Rather, to enlighten sin-darkened hearts by exposing the darkness for what it is and lighting up the only path to God and to salvation through faith in our Savior, the one God sent. Christ's light is intended to bring life to all who follow him in his word. Those who follow Christ in his word are the sons of God. Now, they may not understand perfectly all the teachings, but when they do hear them or study them, the light comes on and they follow. These are the sons of God. These are not God's, God's paintings. God's not just the light painter. And the difference is between a Thomas Kincaid and our God is that God paints on the inside. The light doesn't sit on top of other coats of paint on a canvas. It's inside. It's into the heart of a believer. And it shines out from the inside out. So today, we praise the God of grace and mercy for the light and the life that he has given us through his Son, who is the light of the world. And we pray that that light will dispel the darkness that is in the recesses of our own hearts because of sin. And we pray that that light will shine forth from us, from inside us to others, and that that light will expose all the darkness, everything that's opposed to the gospel of Christ, so that others may come to know the light of Christ in spite of the darkness, so that they may know the joy of eternal life, which we know, not because we imagine it, but because God has taught us that joy and that life through the light of his Son in his word. Amen. Now may this peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and thoughts from every anxiety, because Jesus Christ is the light of your life. Amen.